Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hour number two here on The Bench. John Granato is out, but don't worry. I'll give you some U.S. Open updates just in case you were worried about that sort of thing. He is out today. He'll be back in on Monday. Yesterday, what you may have watched or what you may have missed, the Astros win 10-2, take out the White Sox. They've won four in a row, and the bats are red hot, led by Jose Altuve. Very, very strong performance by Jose Urquidy. Urquidy against a solid lineup ends up going seven innings, gives up four hits, two earned runs, struck out five, but did it with just 93 pitches. So was able to get through the seven innings with just 93 pitches. So efficient outing, bullpen pitchers did a nice job, including Bielak, who had a very strong 10-pitch performance with two strikeouts and eight strikes thrown. Just want to give him his love. Uncle Mike got it kicked off with a three-run homer in the first inning, and then from there it was cruise control. They threw another four spot up in the fourth, and they cruised on that one. They have over the next three against the Red Sox, against the White Sox, they're going to go with Luis Garcia, followed by Fromber, followed by Lance McCullers Jr. So that's some talented pitchers right there. Some guys who have been pitching pretty well as of late, and Fromber continues to, you know, Fromber's one of those guys, Dale, that we talked about it yesterday. I brought this up. You didn't weigh in on this, and so I'll bring it up again. And if you guys on Twitter or if you want to jump in at any point, you can weigh in. But here's what I'm concerned about. It kind of, so when you look at a housing market, and I liken it to this, when you look at a housing market, you can sit there and say the housing market's gone up, and your house maybe was worth $200,000 then, or maybe you were looking for a house like yours and it was $200,000, but now it's $240,000. You're like, well, I don't want to pay $240,000. I want to pay $200,000. That's what it was a year ago. And you may sit there and keep looking for $200,000 houses, but at some point you just have to realize you can look all day long and you're just not going to find the house that you're looking for because it doesn't cost $200,000 anymore. It costs $240,000. Well, that's what's gone on in Major League Baseball. The market has shifted. So for Carlos Correa, for example, there was a time where you might have thought, oh, Carlos would take $200 million in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? Carlos, if you did a $22 million deal, which John would have never thought, yeah, $22 million would have been, that would have been a big reach for Carlos Correa at one point. $22 million for, you know, 8 years. You wouldn't do it that long. You wouldn't go $25 million. But then Lance McCullers got, what was it?
17
and over 5 years.
And we looked at the pitchers who were making that, and Lance was right in line with them.
Yeah, and that's when it really crystallized for me that if you don't update your property values, in other words, Lance McCullers is a 17. Yeah, he's had an injury and all this stuff. But relative to the pitchers making 17 a year, Lance McCullers actually, I think Dallas Keuchel was one of those guys. Lance McCullers really wasn't that far out of line as a five-year, and as a guy who had just recently had a surgery that should prevent further issues with the arm, or at least that's the hope. Carlos Correa, yeah, you would have thought, I know at one point Granado thought $120 million would get the deal done for Correa, and I didn't think it was that crazy sounding at the time. 6 years, $20 million? Although I thought he would be asked looking for more like $24 or $25 million. And of course, the right thing was John saying, what? No, he's not worth that. No. Headed into the season, he wasn't necessarily, or that wasn't the analytics value for him, but that was going to, he was going to get more based on his agency looking to take down a big score with their first baseball client. Well, then came the Tatis deal. Then came the Lindor deal, where these guys are getting $340 and $341 million. Guess what? The price of houses in that neighborhood just went up, and there is no going back. Carlos Correa is also playing great. He's going to make a lot more money. He's going to get $300-plus million. He is. Are the Astros going to be the guys who sign him? I doubt it. But this is my question to you, Dell. Should we be concerned that the Astros are always, because they're an analytics-based team and a value-based team, are they always going to be on the outside looking in? Are we going to see them lose more good young players if it gets to the point where they have to pay market price? Because I don't know that they want to pay for those ridiculous housing prices on players. You know what I mean? Like, are they a team that's going to give out an 8 to 10 year contract?
No, the Astros would love it if MLB players thought like NBA players. They always want flexibility. Give me a lot of money for a short period of time. The Astros, I think, would love if Carlos Correa thought like LeBron. You know what? Or KD. Give me the whatever the equivalent of the 2+1 deal in baseball, where it goes, yeah, I want max money, but I don't want it over 5 years because I don't want to be on a team that might keep me from being able to compete for a title. That's how NBA players at the elite level hold their teams, allegedly hold their teams accountable. I'll sign short-term deals for max money, and then if I don't think we're going in the right direction, I'm out of here. But every Major League Baseball player wants the long-term, 10-year, $30-plus million deal, no matter if I'm with a franchise who's going to suck for years to come, partly because of my deal. But the Astros are to answer your question, I think the Astros will continue to lose out. Because if you look at the teams around baseball who do this, who comes out on the better end of the deal? What team wins on this deal?
No. The players
Astros don't want to do that.
So this is my concern. This is why I think this is a real concern. George Springer got a deal that the Astros absolutely should not have done. And he got it from a different team. And now George is hurt. And they're already... I just saw this the other day. Fans in Toronto are already talking about they wish they would just deal Springer back to the Astros and get out from under his contract because he's been injured for so long. Okay. I mean, yeah, you're right. Obviously, the worst and the precursor was the Pujols deal. And that was a while back when Pujols
did that super long deal.
Well into, it was a 10-year deal.
And he was well into and after his prime. The Angels couldn't have believed that deal was going to work out for him, but they did it because they wanted to make a splash. But we look at what the Phillies gave to Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper was in the prime of his career. He was only 26 when he signed, much like Correa's in his 26th year now. So when he signs, he'll be 27. And they gave him a long-term deal, which is, at this point, probably what a max player coming off the year he had would get now is probably below market value. But Bryce Harper hasn't lived up to that deal, and he won't.
Let's be real about this. I'll read you here's the top 9 contracts in Major League Baseball, just from a length standpoint. And, of course, every one of these is $260 million or more. Mike Trout, 12 years. Mookie Betts, 12 years. Francisco Lindor, 10 years. And that's not going well right now. And either is Betts right now, not for that money. Tatis Jr., who you got to fade injury concerns for 14 years. Bryce Harper, 13. Stanton, 13. Gerrit Cole, 9, but that's for $324 million. Manny Machado, 10. And Alex Rodriguez, when he was with the Yankees, had a 10-year deal. The rest of these guys are current contracts. I cannot see a value-based team being willing to do that. The only way that you're going to be able to fade that heat of letting guys, once you let a guy get to the market, like Carlos Correa is to the market now, it's over. Carlos is going to be in this list next year, more than likely. He'll be in the list of the top 10 guys. It's over. Carlos is going to be gone because the Astros didn't want to give him a long-term deal worth the money that he wanted in advance. And I'm not blaming him. But he certainly is performing right now the way that we always hoped he would. But I think the question is a fair one, that will the Astros be willing to do that at some point in the future? Will they be willing to step out of their comfort zone from a financial standpoint? Daryl Morey did with the Rockets, but only late. Like before, he was always very smart with his money. Sometime it was to his detriment, like with Goran Dragic. But he was always smart so that he always had flexibility to change his roster. Then, once he made a deal for Chris Paul, it was basically a deal with the devil because you guaranteed Chris Paul with a wink and a nod agreement that they were going to give him $40 million a year. And we know what that set up when they had to deal him because James didn't like him. That was the end, and the Rockets are officially in cap hell. And now they're a lottery team. I don't know that the Astros are going to be one of those teams. So if Fromber right now, who's 26, 27 already, do you just maintain club control as long as you can? Because he'll be into his 30s, but pitchers can pitch longer than that. Or at some point, do you say, we're going to give Fromber, if Fromber finishes this year like he's become the pitcher that we've seen since the playoffs last year and certainly this year, do you just say, you know what, maybe it's in our best interest to give Fromber a six-year deal? That's a guy who had to see a sports psychologist at one point. But the flip side of that is keep playing the club control game and maybe get a long-term deal done at some point in the future.
So,
but you don't want to let him get too far or all of a sudden he hits the market and this is a $30 million a year pitcher and you're not paying
him. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. When Fromber, as you said, is 27. So when does he become a free agent? Because David Price got a seven-year, $217 million deal when he was 30. You think the Astros, even if Fromber is great the next 3 years, is giving a 30-year-old pitcher 7 years and the price will probably have gone up a little bit for an elite pitcher? You think they're giving that to a 30-year-old Fromber?
No. Would they do it to a younger Fromber to keep Fromber until he's 33?
Because Fromber wouldn't become an unrestricted free agent until he's 32 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So he's arbitration eligible the next four
years.
Wow,
that's a long time. You can't give him that's a long time. He doesn't become an unrestricted free agent until 32.
So when would they?
No, you play the club control game with him now.
Fromber, if he pitches
until
the way
maybe
he continues.
He's 30, if he balls out, dude, that's not even counting this year.
Yeah.
It's 22, 23, 24, 25. No, you absolutely now. The arbitration's going to start. See, the arbitration's going to be the bump that he deserves. So, no, I think you play the game. And if he's still balling out by the age of 30, then you might extend him in advance at the age of 30.
To 35
just
so
you tack
or so.
On, yeah, tack on a couple more years. That's probably how you play that game. But you understand my question. Maybe Fromber's not a great example because he came up and got a lot better at a
later
where
age.
He's older. What about Yordan? You know, how do you handle Yordan?
I would try to get him a Bregman deal. Like you would try to get in early, and Yordan might say, "I'm not doing that," or he might say, "Yeah, but Yordan is 24." Mm-hmm. He wouldn't become an unrestricted free agent until 29. So sure, at 29, a power hitter, if Yordan continues, he's going to get a giant deal at 29. If that's the case, so you would try to see Yordan. Do you want to be under team control and dealing with arbitration until you're 29 years old, or would you like us to give you a fairly good market deal now so you start making really big money? Early.
I might do it as early as age 26, which would be after 23 or into the 23 season at latest when he's turning 27. And obviously this is provided all the, you know, the production stays the same and he can stay healthy and things like that. But I think the Astros are going to have to be one of those teams that starts paying more early. They may not be able to have all that club control for as long as they want on the younger players for fear of losing out. You lost Springer, but that's understandable. Correa, if you would have gotten a deal done earlier, in hindsight, you would have kept him. He would have been pissed off about his deal once the shortstop deals went through. So you're dealing with that in football with your cornerback, Xavier Howard's pissed off about that. I want to get into that a little bit as well.
He's pissed off, because he's the second highest paid corner team and he's the best one. But he signed a deal a couple years ago. What do you want from them?
You paid 1 year of that deal.
There's also breaking news.
What? Can you play the – do you have a siren or a hip-hop siren like
– Okay, that's breaking news.
Kemba Walker has been traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Whoa!
That is pretty much breaking news.
So
we're still in basketball season.
For what? Well, he's under. I was thinking. When can you make trades during the postseason?
I guess so. That's what the Celtics just did. They're trading Kemba Walker, the number 16 overall pick, and a 2025 second round pick for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second.
So Brad Stevens makes a move. His first move as a GM. He gets Al Horford back, probably one of his favorite guys.
Why, though?
Well, because Kemba is always hurt. He's always hurt. They can't depend on him.
Is Horford a salary move?
Well, they had to make the salaries work. Because Kemba's a max guy. Well,
Is first. Moses Brown any good?
I've never
He's
heard of
pretty
him.
Good, yeah.
I hadn't watched any OKC basketball, so.
He's good. He's a good fantasy player.
Well, he averaged he averaged 8.6 points a game.
So the Celtics are going through a retool of their roster. They're going to need a point guard. I'm not sure where they're going to find
it. He's only 21, so maybe they are betting on. Well, the kid also averages 8.9 rebounds a game.
He's a big man.
Yeah.
A skinny dude. Not a bulky dude, but he's an athletic guy. So we'll see. But the Celtics make.
He's not slim thick.
No. The Celtics make a major move. Their major free agent signing from just a couple years ago to replace Kyrie is now an Oklahoma City Thunder. When you get shipped off to Oklahoma City, it's like, oh, I guess my career is. Might
you
be
like
over.
Bricktown?
Guess I'll be playing with Lu Dort now.
Yeah. And what does that mean for Gilgeous Alexander? Like, they have a point guard already, so.
I don't know.
Actually, it's really what it means for Kemba, because Kemba won't even be their starting point guard. I guess he's going to be the off-ball two for them, I guess?
Yeah, or he'll be part of a deal down the road.
Or he'll get sent someplace else, yeah.
He'll get sent down to play. I would think that he might be. That was the Chris Paul purgatory spot. That's the Kemba purgatory spot now.
Chris Paul was good enough to make them irrelevant for
a year. But he only had
good.
To stay there a year.
Yeah, and Kemba's not that good.
He was able to get out. 8:18. Here on the bench, and we come back.
I still want to get into
we got to get to the girlfriend question, because that's coming up, and I got to check Twitter to see if any of you have ever had a girlfriend get
they
you
respond.
In a fight.
We've had
have you ever
respond.
Had a girlfriend or a wife get you into a fight?
No.
The question is that simple.
The wife, you can't even really get out of it. You've already kind of cast your lot. There's a couple questions surrounding this. If it's early in a relationship and this happens to you, is it like, all right, I'm out? You're
okay,
the
this
wrong
is
person.
My question to listeners. And it's literally your duty. This is like jury duty. You really have to respond here. 713-780-3776. Don't front. We'll get you on quickly. Has a girl ever gotten you into a fight?
Yeah,
I just want to know
that's
that.
That's the real question.
Dell will tell the full story when we come back, but I want to hear from you if you had a girl ever get you into a fight, or, plot twist, has your boyfriend ever gotten you into
because
a fight,
because he
ladies?
Can't fight the girl, because that's, you know, yeah. that's society.
Has your boyfriend
society,
ever gotten you
that.
Into a fight, lady? 713-780-3776. Yes, society doesn't like that. 819.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. Stop looking all over for high-quality windows and siding at an affordable price. Do like I did. Call Allstate Windows and Siding. Allstate Windows and Siding replaced my old windows with exemplary customer service and high-quality products. It enhanced the appearance of my house and increased the energy efficiency of my home. Take advantage of their specials right now. 25% off windows or buy 10, get 2 free. $2,000 off complete siding jobs. Home and virtual appointments available. Family run for 4 generations. 832-204-1936 or AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah. 821 here on The Bench, 713-780-3776. Okay, I guess none of you have gotten in a fight because of a girl before. Dell, tell me the story.
Okay, I retweeted the video with the question, is it a deal breaker if your significant other gets you into a fight? So if you go to Dell V2, you can see it. It looks like the woman's at her job. Apparently she got into some type of back and forth with a male coworker, and her boyfriend comes up. He doesn't work there. He comes up to the workplace. Everybody else is pretty much in uniform, and there's this thing where there's some back and forth, some words being said. The alleged offender keeps saying, check your girl. And, you know, that got the boyfriend upset. Don't tell me to check my girl. And now that he's up there, the girlfriend is trying to hold him back because, you know, I don't want you to get into a fight, baby. No, don't do it. Then why'd you tell me about it and have me up here if you don't want me to get into a fight? You know what type of person I am. Why am I up here if you don't want me to fight? So for about 25 seconds, 30 seconds of this, a minute 50 video, she is trying to hold her boyfriend back while he's about 3 or 4 feet away from the coworker standing by his car. And the coworker is not afraid. Bigger dude saying, I'm not what? Check your girl. Check. I think he even drops the B word on the girl as well. And eventually the boyfriend goes, enough.
Where do they work?
I don't know. It's something.
They're wearing like yellow
maybe
t-shirts.
Hearn. I think it says Hearn on the front. I'm not sure what it is.
Do you think that it was a hedge fund? where they're working, or money management company?
I don't think so. If they're wearing yellow t-shirts, vest.
I don't think you have to wear. I don't think you wear a uniform at hedge fund places.
Okay.
Now there is a shove by the boyfriend to the girlfriend who appears to be pregnant.
Look, the first move. If you do this move, and you can explain it.
Lance pulled up, hiked up his shorts, and got into like a stance.
First of all, if you even pull, this is the rule. If you pull your shorts up or your pants up, if you pull from, let's say, the bottom of the pockets upwards, it's a pants hike. That is an aggressive move. That is an aggressive move. That immediately tells you, uh-oh.
You have this wide stance. You pull your shorts up. You're ready to go.
Oh, yeah. If you widen your stance beyond your shoulders, and if there's any hiking of the pants, that immediately means something. There is danger afoot. And you have to either fight or flight. Unfortunately, the boyfriend went into fight mode first, and the guy who's way bigger than him did not go into flight mode.
No. The guy who go into the flight mode probably said, man, you up here because your girl got you up here. I'm going to beat your ass. And that's what he did. I mean, after all the talking, after the boyfriend shoved his girl who appeared to be pregnant out of the way so he can get at this guy, the guy two-paced him a couple times, so more like a four-piece.
Yeah, but that was
more like a family meal.
One of them knocked him down.
More like a family meal.
Yeah.
And then he suplexed him twice.
It was like number two.
He suplexed him, and I think
that wasn't a good one.
And then I think he got him with the rock bottom.
Yeah,
like he was facing him, and then he picked him up and slammed him down with one arm.
And then he caught one knee to the ribs, too.
Yeah,
and then he walked off like,
I'm done with you.
He's lucky he was able to, and the video ended shortly after that. Can you tell me the names of the people involved if you had to just put names on them? What's the girl's name?
I don't want to do this.
Yeah, don't do that, Dale.
I'm about to reenact something. I need names. What's her name? Maria?
Margaret.
Margaret, okay.
She looks like a Margaret to me.
She does not look like a Margaret.
Yes, she does. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Hispanic guy boyfriend. What's his name?
I don't know if he's Hispanic because he dropped the N-bomb. Now, Hispanic men have been known to drop the N-bomb.
Have you not seen YouTube videos ever, Dell?
I was going to correct myself. I said now Hispanic men have been known to drop the N-bomb, but I'm going to say this guy is Team Lightskin.
Oh, you think he's Team Lightskin?
I think he's Team Lightskin.
With that little beard that he had, too?
I think he's Team Lightskin.
Okay, name him.
I'm going to...
Trey?
No, hold on.
Steph?
I'm thinking...
Okay.
I'm going to go with Chad.
Oh, you're so... God, and you know...
You're trying to get me trapped.
I'm just going to say this honestly. You've got to stop this colorism.
You're trying to trap me.
You're anti-colorism, and you're always against all Team Lightskin.
I'm calling him Chad because if I give him a name that you think I'm going to... I don't want to catch the heat. His name is Chad.
Chad feels like a disrespectful name.
Chad Johnson? How's that disrespectful?
Yeah, but you know.
What?
You know white guys
Chad
are called
Wilson?
Chads. You know white guys are called Chads.
Chad Wilson, the father of the Wilson boys who you have issues with, his name is Chad.
I don't have issues with them.
They have issues with you.
Yeah, they have issues with me.
Chad.
Okay, and who's the other guy, the big guy?
The big guy's name is Donovan.
All right.
That's okay, right?
Yeah, I guess that's
fine.
Here's how it should have gone.
Okay.
Chad should have gone up there, and this is how it should have gone. He goes, listen, guys. As soon as he saw the guy, she said, listen, guys, I don't think that what you did was disrespectful to my girl, Donovan. And Margaret, I'm just going to tell you this right now. I've got your back. I'm going to march right into HR right now, and I'm going to let them know exactly what Donovan said, and we're going to get this thing settled. You know what? I'm here. I'm a professional. I'm not going to come up here and fight you because that's exactly what you want, and I might whip your ass if I did anyway, but instead, I'm going to be a real man. And you know what real men do? We take it to HR and run it up the flagpole the way it's supposed to be, and then you're going to have to deal with saying the B word during this Me Too movement. Donovan, are you comfortable with that, calling a pregnant lady a B word?
I don't think the Me
That's
Too
how
movement.
He should've
I don't
done
think
it.
The Me Too movement's about
He should have referenced the Me Too movement.
Calling someone the B word in the parking lot.
You could still use it. You could have hashtagged Me Too'd him. You could have referenced that. You could have, you know, referenced pregnant women. You could have just threatened them with HR. That's how it could have gone. HRP, I heard this radio commercial, and I know a company that's going to handle
HR. How did this turn
into
a live read?
Huh?
For HR&P.
He doesn't even do HR&P.
Oh, he do HR&P. That's what he could have done. Three things. One is the way that he went, which was ass-kicking a guy on video.
Mm-hmm.
And his girlfriend got him into a fight. And now, that's going to be an uncomfortable ride home. How do you think that ride home went? Because he did it. He went up there.
Yeah.
At some point, when does he bring up the fact, like, he's not going to say anything right away. At some point, do you think it's that same night where he goes,
He's got
ice on. He's trying to watch a game, and he goes, hey, you know,
she's probably nagging him to do the laundry.
Hold on, I'm still acting, Dale.
Yeah. No, that's Trey. That's not me.
I mean, Trey. What? What is it? I mean, you know, you didn't have to. You could have handled that better. I didn't have to run up there like that. Like, you know, I don't like him calling you the B word, but I mean, I mean, you couldn't have said something to your manager, really? I mean, you couldn't have said you got me up there getting into a fight, and now
I just
my
got
hands
off work.
All hurt.
I got gravel in my palm.
I got gravel. I got slammed down to the ground
twice.
I mean. What? I got rock bottom, and now I could become a meme.
This dude,
because you couldn't take that to Gary.
You got Donovan out here rock bottoming me.
I got
twice.
Rock bottom by Donovan. You got this Donovan. Big ass, and then he probably would have used the N word because he used it previously.
Yeah.
And I'm out here getting slammed onto concrete.
You got me fighting these big ass.
I mean, was it even that serious?
Yeah.
I called you that before.
I'm about to call you that now.
Yeah.
So, but my does the status of the relationship determine whether that's deal breaker? That was my quote tweet on the question.
Let's get Jared in here right now. Jared, what do you have to say about that? Bring him on, Dale. I mean, bring him on, Trey.
What's
up, Jared?
I was waiting for the thing to come on. I was like, hey, talking to myself, but hey, Lance, as you already know, you know, my ex-wife made me go get ice cream for her during a Rocket playoff game. So do you think she ever got me in a fight?
Yes,
probably.
Yeah.
Did she really?
It was at the beginning of our relationship. We probably should have. I probably should have saw this as a warning sign. But we were at Eddie's Ballroom down in Manville. That place has since burnt down. We were watching a concert, and this guy walked by, and she claims that she dated him before, and he grabbed her butt. She says, and you know, I did the whole move like I'm like, what? He grabbed your butt, and of course, I was smart enough to know that I had five of my boys with me. So I could make a big old scene, and they would get between us and be like, yo, calm down.
You NBA fighter. So, that's a good move.
I thought that through big time, big time. But, hey, Lance, real quick, I got a question for you on the Astros. With all this cheating stuff, I don't know if you watched the game last night, but AT&T Sportsnet had, like, a live showing you the trajectory of the ball, the type of pitch, and the – speed.
I didn't see trajectory. I didn't recognize trajectory. What you just mentioned that was the biggest thing, and this is going to be now full time, and I guess it got added to StatCast, which, well, you know what? Let me break it here, and we'll talk about something that's, of course, we're probably going to continue. I just know how these Friday shows go. We're probably going to continue with girlfriend fight stuff, but there is something new with the broadcast, but I wondered about how they come up with this, because I'm working with a player tracking company in the NFL, and I know how long it takes to process, how short and how long it takes to process stuff. This is a really, really cool feature that they added on a broadcast if you didn't watch, and we'll get to it here in just a second. It's 8:31 here on the Bench.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
I don't really care if, and you know, he's a great dude. Jeff Passan, great, great guy. Very good dude. But I don't care if he's pissed off at me. I don't care if Rob Manfred's pissed off at me. It doesn't really matter that much to, you know, to my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, I was maybe a little bit more willing to come forward with some of the information that, you know, that I shared.
That was Ryan Spader, who is a does some baseball writing, does a lot of different statistics, written books about statistics. He's a former Marine who does not make his money, his job money is not made in the baseball sector necessarily, but is involved, has been on MLB Network before. And he came out with stuff that he heard a couple days ago on Twitter, had a big long Twitter thread about how all these different teams and people were cheating, how prevalent it was, and how he kind of thinks it's ridiculous about the scapegoating of Dallas Keuchel with the test, you know, with the spider tack and the Astros. And he pointed out all the different ways that teams have cheated. He's talked about players, current players, who texted him and said, you know, this is what's going on. This is what went on with the Dodgers, with the Royals. He named teams. Well, yesterday, that same guy, after he had him on in the morning, said this at 12:42. I deeply regret everything that I said. It has turned my life upside down. It was a mistake, and I should not have reported on unfounded allegations. I sincerely apologize to all those impacted. It should not have happened, and it will not happen again. Stick to stats. Now, that is not a retraction of what he said. I think he does regret it because that heat got pretty substantial on him, and my guess is he was threatened with lawsuits and things like that. And
it was rough on him. When you gave us the name and told us he was coming on, I didn't know what the feeling was, but I felt like this would end poorly for someone, and I guess I should have just known it would be Spader, because baseball has a vested interest in closing this kind of stuff down.
I knew that this was probably not going to do, but I knew he was also right.
Yeah,
and I trusted and believed him. I knew it could get tough because the heat really gets magnified. And fan bases alone are bad, but when he told us that Major League Baseball Players Association have reached out, this is the problem. He had to have an ace up his sleeve where he had a couple players willing to come out and have his back and publicly go on record and then force MLB's hands. He didn't have that, obviously.
Nope. Now, baseball, like I said, has an interest in making sure the cheating in their sport is contained to a team so it can be isolated. You can point to one team and say they're the problem. But he wasn't going to get many, if any, people who kind of do the job he does to side with him too. There wasn't going to be this outpouring of, you know what, Ryan, you're right, from guys who cover the game themselves. You saw he had a bit of a back and forth with one guy talking about how pointing to certain things isn't the right way to go about it.
Who was that guy?
It was
a baseball writer.
Yeah, and Ryan responded with, yeah, but you know I'm right. So you knew, because the way they treated other stories, where a player would come out and say something. He mentioned Kratz by name, and did any writer jump on the Kratz story and go, hey, let me talk to this guy and try to figure out what he knows and how deep this goes? Because for whatever reason, it's not something they want to do.
I'm not comparing the severity of the two by any stretch of the imagination. Do you think the Harvey Weinstein stuff and some of the Kevin Spacey stuff, do you think that this was not known? Do you think people didn't know it? And yet, how many people talked about that with Harvey Weinstein? Nobody, because it wasn't in their best interest. It wasn't until somebody has the courage to do something, and then another person and another person, and then it gets easy. The Kevin Spacey stuff, Eric Layden told, after all that stuff broke, he told a story on our podcast way back in the day about Spacey with some of his friends, you know, coming on to a couple of his friends who are working events. And yeah, it's known. It's known. Trust me, this is known in baseball by a lot of writers. A lot of writers have been given information by major league players. But do you want to be the one on that island? Do you want to be first on that island? Look what happened. Colin Kaepernick, he was first on an island that is an easy island to be on now. And it cost him his career. I mean, it cost Colin Kaepernick his career. That's the bottom line. But he was first on that island. And I don't know if he had known about the severity and what would go on. I am curious if he'd do it all over again. I think he would. I think he'd be okay with where he is financially. But, you know, I do wonder if he realized how big that would get. When you're first on the island, it's tough. And this guy tried to jump on an island by himself. But I'm going to give him some help here, because no Major League Baseball players came to his defense yesterday. I wouldn't assume, since he ended up basically giving a mea culpa. Dallas Keuchel is in town with the White Sox. As a matter of fact, he's going to pitch on Sunday against Lance McCullers. And he was asked about the about cheating around Major League Baseball and what happened when he was with the Houston Astros. And here's what he had to say.
Hold on 1 second. Computer froze.
Trey's a victim of our computer.
All right, just let us know. Yeah. Every producer says computers freeze, but they really do freeze.
Particularly if you're playing something directly from Twitter, there's always a chance that it's not going to play. okay. when you want it to.
Do you? I mean, Trey, you just let me know when you got it, and we'll play it because
Dell knows.
Yeah, Dell knows.
Now, I understand what happened.
Do you have it ready, Trey?
Hang on 1 second.
Are we still frozen? Okay, we're still frozen.
There's an issue sometimes.
Dallas Keuchel has been, you know, he's one of those guys that I think he can speak his mind. There's no risk. He's not putting anyone else's business out there. But he also realizes that, you know, what happened. And I think some of the, we've seen minor, small pushbacks with former players and former baseball people who have kind of gotten sick of the way this has gone, where there's, I think it's just the sanctimonious nature of some of the players and even fan bases and even media types who have acted like this has just been a one-way deal, where a lot of people know that's not the case. We'll save it for the next segment.
Yeah, I got it.
You do? Okay, let's play Dallas Keuchel's thoughts here.
Well, I think a lot of fans are misinformed because it wasn't just the Astros doing things. We were kind of keeping up with the times. And, you know, it's kind of sad that it is what it is at this point in time. But I've moved on, and, you know, life always moves on. So I'm not going to get stuck back in a past year or past experience. And, you know, it is what it is. But life moves forward. So if people want to hold on to what they think is reality, then I'd let them. But it doesn't hurt me. I just try to move forward, try to be the best I can, because I know my life here in baseball is not going to last forever, and I'm trying to take advantage as much as I possibly can.
So he gave you kind of a matter-of-fact vantage point that, yeah, I mean, fans are misinformed, and if that's what you want to believe is reality, go ahead. So that was what Dallas Keuchel gave you there, and I would say that's obviously accurate what he said, but it doesn't matter. I'm almost to the point where I don't even want to bring this stuff up anymore because it really isn't going to change anything. But once this does come out, and it will be in the future, where things do come out against other people, and Spider Attack is kind of the beginning of it. It will feel good, but it's not going to change the way people will look and treat the Astros. The only thing you can do is shove it up people's ass by sweeping the White Sox and then sticking it all the way up.
Hey,
in the World Series with a World Series win.
What is wrong with you?
Push it.
Have you ever had your
4-game losing streak pushed in?
And then
that's what I'm hoping happens.
Then physically manhandled into a toilet.
Yeah,
with a shotgun in your face.
Yeah, you're playing out the whole
is
scene
this
there.
A Full Metal Jacket reference.
No, you gotta watch Training Day.
And then okay.
Because of saving their little niece or cousin from a crackhead in the first 5 minutes of the show, you save your life.
Have you ever had a radio host, a co-host smoke fry? I have. John Granato did that the same way that Denzel Washington did that. Yeah, John smoked fry one time.
Good for John.
Before the show.
Getting out there and trying things.
He was blazed. Joint dipped in formaldehyde. Does that sound like a good thing to you, Trey?
I don't think that happened.
It might have happened.
You don't know that.
You don't know.
I'm 90% sure that didn't happen.
Well, still that 10%.
But what I do know will happen on the other side is more Charlo tickets. So,
we got more tickets.
Don't call in now. Listen in on the other side. We're going to give you another chance to win some tickets to the Charlo fight on, well, it's tomorrow. So it's a tight one.
What about we have a word? Like it keys, like wanna, KO. What's the word?
They don't like doing that. They don't like working.
I don't care what they like. If they want the tickets, they'll do what we say.
Okay.
All right.
So if we say the magic word, but it doesn't help the streamers.
Trey, what's the well, that's too bad for them. Trey.
No, but they're a valuable part of the listenership. And you don't want to set them up for
a
chance
to
win tickets?
Well,
we'll just say it's the 15th.
No, don't whisper.
How far off are they?
They're like about a minute off. So if I say the word, they're not going to get it.
They're not going to get it.
We'll hook the streamers up next. The next set of tickets.
Look, I'm trying to fight.
What's the magic word, Trey?
I'm trying to fight for you.
Give me a magic word.
Pancreas.
Okay. How are we going to fit pancreas?
Just figure it out.
God,
Trey spoken. Pancreas is the magic word. When you hear it in the next segment.
So the next time we say it.
Next time you hear
segment.
Pancreas, 12th caller.
Well, that was the next time,
what?
Wasn't it?
No, but this, no,
in
not
the
now.
Next segment.
Oh.
Yeah, the next time we say, when you hear the magic word that we just said, If you're the 12th caller, you got a chance to win tickets for the fight. It's tomorrow night, by the way.
It's tomorrow night at Toyota Center.
So when we come back, it's 8:46 right here on the bench.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Tony says, you could make up anything about Granato, and no matter how crazy it was, if you said Super Bowl week 2004, that's when Super Bowl was here and John was off the rails, we'd have to believe, like, okay, that's very possible. If I say John Granato gutted a bear in the streets of Houston, gutted a bear with his bare hands, it's unlikely but possible.
I don't believe that.
It's 2004
Super Bowl.
He won't
even change his own tire. I don't believe he's gutting a bear.
Well, but you have that background knowledge that he's like secretly soft about that
stuff. It's not that background. He said it on the air. Everyone knows who listened. He won't even change his tire.
Okay, held at gunpoint Super Bowl week.
Well,
because
yeah,
he was in the wrong place, because he was someplace he shouldn't have been at 3 in the morning. 100%.
You think
that
so?
That could have happened. That could happen now, but that definitely could have happened Super Bowl back
in
2004.
He's like America's guest. He's always in places where people think they want him, then they realize he's not such a great
no,
guest.
No. About John being in a shady place in 2004, Super Bowl week.
Playing poker.
You have to understand. You didn't know John in 2004.
No, what I'm saying, he could have been in a poker room.
John was coming in drunk to the show.
He comes in hungover now.
No, openly drunk.
No.
Not just the back end of it.
I believe.
He was in full stride.
He could have been in a poker room where maybe he shouldn't have been in.
Yeah.
I get that.
So that's where the gunpoint came in. That he could have gone face-to-face with somebody where they both had machetes. And they both, it was mutually assured destruction, since they both had the machetes pointed at each other. Him and Ugyet Urbina, let's say, because that's the guy who's actually hit somebody with a machete.
Urbina.
I could have seen that in 2004. Ugyet could have been in town for the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
I could have totally seen that. John Granato's Super Bowl week was a different animal. It scared me. I didn't know if we were going to continue to have a show. He said some things on the air that shouldn't have gone on the air.
He says that now. Well, he does that now.
Yeah, well, okay. 1560 John is a lot, not 1560, but 97.5 John is a lot like, that's a lot like Super Bowl week, John.
Okay.
But at 610 at that time, we didn't cross as many lines.
Do you think John at any point was down so bad at the tables he offered up his pancreas?
Did John ever have to offer up his pancreas?
Yeah.
Huh. That's an interesting thought, Dell. Yes, I think that could have happened. Or I think somebody could have asked for the pancreas. And if you know, you know.
If you were listening, you know what that means. So try to get in, everybody. Caller 12.
Caller 12. Now, you had something that you wanted to bring up. Oh, yeah, you're bringing up the tickets.
Yeah.
Boxing tickets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, caller 12 is for a championship fight in town tomorrow. Jamarl Charlo. I always struggle with the name Jamarl. Jamarl Charlo is defending his WBC title tomorrow at Toyota Center. This is my mistake, actually, because we were supposed to be giving these tickets away all week long. I just didn't see the email. So now we're giving away a lot of them. But Jamarl Charlo will face hard-hitting Juan Macias Montiel live from Toyota Center. Right now is your chance to win tickets. So try to get in at 713-780-3776. Looks like we already have a winner. We have one more pair of tickets to give away. And if you don't win, make sure to catch all the action live and in person by getting your tickets now at toyotacenter.com or axs.com. Charlo versus Montiel live from Toyota Center. WBC middleweight world champion Jamarl Charlo taking on a hard hitter. We'll see how it goes.
22 wins. 22 knockouts, but he's for the challenger, but he's facing Houston's own Charlo, who is undefeated and a world champ. So, yeah, good luck to him in tomorrow's fight. He's also a big favorite, despite the fact that he's facing a guy that can really punch. We have been on the Astros a little bit. We talked about the fact that our guest from yesterday had to back down from his comments because he just the heat got too hot in the kitchen, and I'm exchanging some direct messages with him, and he won't say exactly, but he does basically say this. He can't really say what happened, but it went south really quickly for him. So we know the deal on that one. Jose Altuve has been red hot, and that's something Keith wants to talk about right now. This is a guy who's homered 7 of the last 10 games, has 8 home runs in his last 10 games, and is on pace to be the player of the month. What's going on, Keith?
Good morning, gentlemen. For me, Jose Altuve has already surpassed Craig Biggio for the Astros' all-time second baseman. Here's some of the things that he's done that the Hall of Famer never did. Jose Altuve is the all-time postseason home run leader for second baseman. All time. 2 batting titles, an MVP, a game-winning home run in the ALCS, and a World Series title. And in the postseason, no disrespect to Craig Biggio, but he hit .234 with 2 home runs. Jose Altuve, .306 in the postseason. 18 long balls. I would submit to you that Jose Altuve has already surpassed the Hall of Famer as the Astros' all-time second baseman. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I think so. I think he did. I actually thought he did a couple games ago. It's worth noting that Craig Biggio had a lot fewer playoff games, a lot smaller sample size, I think, than Jose Altuve, I believe, already. But yeah, Jose Altuve, based on total performance, regular season, and it's a guy who had 200 hits, what, 4 times? As much as I love Biggio, for me, Altuve greater than Biggio. The only thing you were waiting for was just for the passage of time. Because as time passed and he continued to stack up stats, to me, it's kind of a no-doubter. Biggio's a Hall of Famer. Jose Altuve is going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's going to be baseball writers going to hold anything about 17 Astros against him. And, yeah, Jose Altuve is the greatest Astro that's ever played. I firmly believe that. There have been some other really good players. You know, and don't come to me with Verlander and stuff like that. You don't get to carry over your Tiger stuff. You don't get to do that. Don't be the guy that says Nolan Ryan, because that just shows that you don't have any idea what you're talking about. The best Astro of all time is Jose Altuve. Come at me. I can't think of anyone else who I would put on that list. I mean, Lance Berkman has been a really, really good Astro, played with him for a big chunk of his career, but, you know, won his World Series elsewhere. Jeff Bagwell had some great numbers, but wasn't a playoff guy. Is what it is. Jose Altuve, regular season playoffs, that's the guy. So, yeah, I'm rocking with Jose Altuve. I don't know what the challenge was there, Keith. I think a lot of people, every year that passes and every year that Jose Altuve stacks up more stats, since baseball's so heavily statistics-oriented, every year that passes, Jose Altuve is going to, you know, become the greatest Astro in more and more people's heads and surpass Craig Biggio in more and more people's heads. A guy who I think is the great car salesman in the city of Houston or the outlying areas is Craig DeCerf, and he's in Angleton. And the reason that I tell you about a place in Angleton all the time is, number one, it's about 42 minutes away. And that trip, you can also stop and get some killings if you want to get some good barbecue on the way out there in Pasadena. But, you know, it's really about making that trip and taking advantage of thousands off. 0% financing right now for 72 months on GMC, many GMC vehicles in stock or 0%. You can find out which ones online or when you stop in Angleton, but a huge percentage of them are when you finance through GM Financial for well-qualified buyers. But listen, the 0% financing is just one of many different advantages that you get. Don't forget that you also get the advantages of having the ability to get more for your trade-in for your vehicle, the ability to have a personal relationship with someone in sales who is simply there to answer questions for you, and they're not there to lead the sales experience. They're there to just be someone who helps get the deal done for you without bothering you and hassling you. And ultimately, you want a great car, a great price, a great sales experience so that you tell other people that's what they want for you. And that's why I love speaking for them. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. GMC, find new roads.
ESPN 97.5. Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.